22, Missouri River Runoff and Reservoir Outlook. Al, are you going to handle that for us?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Officer Gary Roebling, Al Nedved, Deputy Director for the Division of Parks and Recreation. My PowerPoint up there? Okay. Today we wanted to kind of give a update on Missouri River and some of the boating access things that we're working on right now. With the Missouri River, hard to believe, 2 years ago we were here talking about probably one of the largest runoff events, the river's seen, in the last century. And, like most things, in the natural environment, the pendulum swings and sometimes you go back the other direction. So as you've, all seen, around the region, the dry conditions are starting to, become very prevalent here throughout the region, especially in the Missouri River Basin and some of the runoff, projections, for the Missouri River are starting to come into focus. And, we definitely take that, seriously and, don't take it for granted, as far as boating access on the Missouri River, especially with like Lake Oahe, where we could see, historical fluctuations of up to 50 feet down that reservoir, sometimes providing, boating access on a lake like that is just challenging to say the least. So, like I say, once the projections have kind of been coming in here with the Corps, and we're starting to look at how this might affect some of the ramps and stuff on the river and what we might do to make sure that the access is maximized throughout the region there. So when we do this, it's not a real exact science. The Corps of Engineers, as they operate under their annual operating plan, provides typically three long-range forecasts for the Missouri River system. And there's a wide range in what those three forecasts typically provide. So it's kind of up to us to kind of fine tune that and hone in on what we think is the right projection so that when a certain reservoir elevation hits, that we can spring into action when necessary and make sure that some of our ramps are taken care of there. So just some of the things that we look at, and one of the big ones is obviously the mountain snowpack that occurs in Montana and Wyoming. This year, the snowpack kind of tracked slightly below average, and for both the stretch that goes directly into Fort Peck, and then that comes down the Yellowstone into Lake Garrison, so or Lake Sakakawea. So it's been kind of tracking a little bit below normal, which like say, if you see on the graph there. There's a green line that shows back in 2001, which was probably considered one of the lowest snowpack years out there. We're tracking above that, but it's still definitely below average on both accounts. And then probably the biggest change recently here is just out on the plains and some of the soil moisture and some of the drought conditions are really starting to spread farther north and farther east into the Missouri River Basin that wasn't there in the last year or two. So definitely it's some of those tributaries coming into the Missouri River system that just really are not producing a lot of water for the reservoir system that we're seeing this year. So that kind of thing. 132 years of measuring the Missouri River down in Sioux City is how they kind of calculate the total runoff year. And you see there throughout the course of 132 years, a couple of the highest years that obviously have occurred here in 2011 and 2019. With the red line there, they're projecting a lowered amount even from last month of 17.8 million acre feet of runoff on the Missouri River system this year. So, and if you look at the lower basic projection, which is the type of projection that you look at when, you're in a sustained drought situation. It could even go down to 13.7 is what their forecasts are they're indicated right now. So definitely looking at a lower runoff year, and you know, things can always change or turn things around if we start getting a wetter cycle that comes into play. These projections could definitely change upward as well. But that's kind of what we're following right now. Is that it seems like we are in a drier drought cycle, and so what we're looking at in terms of boating access, we're following that model right now until you know, a wetter cycle starts to emerge. Just a little visual there on the dams themselves. Obviously, the top three reservoirs for Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are the you know, they make up over 80%, 84% of the storage, flood storage for the Missouri River system. So those are definitely the ones that fluctuate the most. Fort Randall does provide about 14%, I believe, flood storage in the system. And then Big Bend and Garrison are essentially pass-through dams that really do not fluctuate that much. They do not provide a significant amount of flood storage. So some of the current water elevations on the six reservoirs there, you can see the middle column there is considered the multi-purpose operating pool level. Once you get above that level, you get into flood control storage on the reservoirs. Below it, it's the operating pool. So on the top three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe, we're sitting in below that operating pool. And typically, you know, when the spring runoff hits and the mountain snowpack melts and comes into the reservoir system, I mean, those levels typically go above the operating pool level elevation and into the flood control. But this is the first year in a few years that we have not seen those reservoirs go into the flood control zone of that. The lower three, like I said, they do exceed the operating pools right now, but again, it's not significant in terms of storage or water levels. The multi-purpose storage zones in those reservoirs, we have not reached 100% of those for the big three storage reservoirs, and so there's 0% of flood control occupied storage at this moment. So like it's been a few years since we've been there, and it basically means that on those reservoirs, the projections going into the spring do not have any rise in them. The 3-week projection for Oahe is pretty stable, not going up or down, but unless the major rainfall events occur, likely the levels in these reservoirs will be in a downward trajectory throughout the summer. So specifically on Lake Oahe, looking at 50 plus years of minimum elevations on the lake, you see you know, back in 2002 through 2006, that was kind of the big drought period on the reservoir that required a huge effort by the department to provide low water access during that period. It was a challenging time to try to keep boat ramps in the water, and the department eventually spent over $8 million providing low water access on a number of sites up and down the reservoir and on some others as well. But it was a significant investment, and eventually a lot of those improvements went underwater, but we knew someday that there would be a day where you know those facilities would come into service again, and we're starting to see some of that happening right now with some of the projections and the water levels that we're seeing there. But as you can see, the red line there kind of shows, you know, following the lower basic projection that you know, we potentially will reach a 1595 elevation on Lake Oahe by the end of the year, and probably about 1600 by the end of the season. So, again, below that operating pool elevation, and we're starting to take a look at some boat ramps and how that might affect it. So some of the boat ramps out there that are kind of on the upper end of the reservoir range there that we're looking at the most, Okobojo, north of Pier, that's essentially a high water ramp by its own standards. So there's that one is definitely out of service right now. Bush's Landing, which I'll get into a little bit more here afterwards here. That boat ramp is currently out of service, and we're looking at the low water boat ramp for some improvements there. But another three or four ramps there, East Whitlock, Little Bend, Sutton Bay. We're expecting those ramps to go out of service as we get down past below 1605. And the reservoir right now, I believe, is about 1606. So we've been able to get out there and kind of take a look at some of those low water facilities that were constructed 12 years ago or so, to see how they handled it, and whether there was any ice damage or anything like that. But the good news is that those investments that were done, you know, over a decade ago are looking good. There's some gravel and some voids that might need to be fixed there to get those back into service. But in Little Bend, we're expecting a transition from the high water ramp to the low water ramp here within a few weeks. Same with Sutton Bay, look at that, and we might have to bring in some gravel and kind of firm things up a little bit to make sure that transition can occur, but looking like those ramps, they've been underwater for, over a decade. They're looking good, and a little bit of maintenance, we'll be hoping to be able to make those transitions there. So, a few others are there that we don't expect, at least based on the current projections, have any problems with, but if the water were to drop more or the forecast were to worsen, those are some ramps that might come into play in terms of access at those levels. A little bit about Bush's Landing. That's probably the one we're really honing in on right now. That ramp right now is currently out of service. There's a very large silt bar that's built up over the end of the ramp, which has worsened over the years since the last time we saw this kind of low water there. It's a real difficult site. And here you see an aerial photo of when Bush's is providing access with the high water ramp. And probably the one thing, I don't know if it shows up really well on the screen there, but one thing that kind of illustrates one of the biggest problems of Bush's Landing is you can see the murky water in there. It's almost brown, like chocolate milk there. I mean, that's sediment that's moving by wave action into that bay. And, that's been a constant force at Bush's Landing, since the reservoir filled. So that's kind of what we're really battling there is that sediment, that's depositing in that bay. And, as we found out as the water's gone down, that even though we've been blessed by high water at Bush's and we've been able to keep providing access, that high water has kind of a hidden threat there, and that's sediment, and that's been building up ongoing, and so it's definitely posing a problem for continued access at Bush's there. This aerial photo shows I think it probably goes back to 2008. Back when we were providing low water access at Bush's. You can see out here further in the bay a low water ramp that was built in about 2006 that was providing pretty significant access there. You can see vehicles parked there that are using that ramp facility there. So there is a low water ramp at Bush's. The problem is that we do not are not able to bridge that gap between the current water level now and when that one comes into service. The water would have to drop probably another 4 or 5 feet for that ramp to start coming out of the water and coming into service. So looking at the projections for this year, that would basically put that low water ramp out of service for the whole summer. So we've had our engineers out there looking at that low water ramp in the last few weeks, coming up with a plan to raise that low water ramp even further so we can get that ramp into service, hopefully here within a few weeks, or so. And you can see this picture kind of shows kind of where that low water ramp is located right now. And you see some of the rocks and riprap starting to poke out of the water there a little bit. And, it's been determined that, even though there's still water there, that, that the base is firm enough, we can get contractors in there to start working, even in the water there, that we can start adding material and adding plank and getting that raised up so we can get both in and out of there. So right now, the engineers are speaking with some contractors as we speak, and we're hoping to come up with a solid plan to make that work. And one thing that will mean, if we can be successful in getting the back steps here accomplished, it's going to require a road to go clear back to the parking lot up there. So it's going to be a significant walking distance there to get back to the vehicles where they park and so forth, probably 1,000 feet or quarter mile or so. And so there's going to be some distance in getting vehicles back and forth there, but it's really the only option that exists between access and no access at the same time. So hopefully we'll have more to relay here in the next month or so as far as how that project is going to progress. But right now it's all hands on deck, and we're trying to get folks out there to get that project looked at and get it addressed.
Great report, Al. So people aren't able to use bushes right now. Does that put a lot of pressure on Putnam Bay, or what's the next alternative if you're not using bushes?
Probably a balance between Little Bend and Putnam Bay. A lot of folks, even though if you're going to try to get up on the Cheyenne River, probably Little Bend, probably the boat next boat ramp that would facilitate it as well. But if you're fishing up the north of the river a little bit, Sutton Bay would probably be your next option there.
So, any other questions or comments for Al? Nicely done.
Okay, thank you.